Do you want to make your messages memorable? Then pay attention to the issue of illustrations. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and welcome to the latest Tuesday teaching tip, which this week is number 211. And we're continuing a series proposed to me by my friends in the Philippines. So hello to you in the Philippines, and thanks so much for suggesting this. The title of the series is from Psalm 145, verse 11. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. So we're telling of God's glory, speaking of his might. How do we do that effectively? That's what this series is all about. And today we're into class number 8 out of 10, and we're talking about how to make our messages memorable. Whether you're preaching a sermon, teaching a class, leading a discussion, there are ways to make things memorable. Jesus made things memorable. He did. He was an incredible user of illustrations, but we'll talk more about in just a moment. So where are we so far in the series? Class 8. So we have so far, let's run through this. We have chosen our text. We've explored it. We've looked for other resources to give us insights like commentaries. We found our core point, which for me is Jesus loves to help. We have chosen a structure, introduction, first, second point, whatever is going to be on our structure. We've planned how to start the lesson, that all-important introduction to grab people's attention, to help them to see that this is relevant and to give them a good reason to continue to listen. And then we've planned how to end our lesson. Last week we talked about conclusions. Now, today we're going to talk about how to make our messages memorable, or if you like, sticky. Some messages are sticky. I dare say that you remember some messages that other people have taught, even if it be years and years and years ago. I remember some sermons taught by one of my early inspirations, James Lloyd. I remember certain sermons that, in fact, my cohort, my generation, now and again we get together and swap stories about what we remember about his preaching. Times, for example, when he came on wearing shabby clothes on to preach, and we all thought that was very strange because he was normally nicely dressed in a suit. And then he started to talk about the parable of the man who was improperly dressed for the banquet. And then he went off, got changed into the correct clothes, if you like, a smarter suit, and came back on to finish the sermon. That was probably 35 years ago. I still remember it. And I remember the point. And I remember the scripture connected. So there you go. It was effective. You might like to, if you're doing this as a group discussion exercise, a group training exercise, to talk about lessons that you've heard that are memorable and why they are memorable. So think about that as an exercise. Now, I have done some other teaching tip videos on this topic. Teaching tip number 11 was called Influential Illustrations. So you can go and have a look at that. I'm going to put the links to these in the show notes. Teaching tip episode 134 was entitled How to Use Your Expertise to Illustrate. So that's about your particular areas of expertise and how that can be useful in illustrating points. Teaching tip number 164 is called What to Do When Illustrations Aren't Received as Expected. I had an unusual response to an illustration I used. And what do you do when it doesn't work out the way you thought? That can be useful to know. And teaching tip episode 173 is called Illustrate from Experience. So you might like to look those up. All the notes, all the links in the show notes. I'm not going to go over the same points. Wouldn't be any point in this class. You'll see what I'm going to do in just a moment. But I would like to pause for a moment and remind us all that the master at this was Jesus. He used physical props, if you like. He used stories. He used illustrations from history. He used illustrations from the news. And I could do a whole set of classes on the way Jesus masterfully uses illustrations to make his messages sticky. But that's not the point of what we're going to do today. So what I'd like to encourage you to do is skim through the Gospels. Pick up your Bible and just skim through them noting every time that Jesus uses some kind of illustration to make his message memorable, and write a list. Write down a list of all the things he did with scripture references and see what you learn from that. And perhaps, again, if you're doing this as a training exercise, share that with each other and see what you've noticed. I think you'll find that tremendously helpful. Now, today what we're going to talk about, though, is sources of illustrations, ways to make messages memorable, types of illustrations, and appropriateness of the same. So let's talk about these one by one. Firstly, sources. Where do we get our illustrations from? Well, firstly, you can think about your past. You may remember last week, I talked about the time when I fell off my tricycle when I was very young, and my mother put sticking plasters on my knees, and I remembered that as that's actually my first powerful memory of my mother. That's from my past. You may have stories like that. Some of the past memories will be distant, some will be more recent. Let me illustrate for you a few ways in which I use recent events, or I discover recent events that might be relevant to a particular sermon. So first of all, one of the things I do every week is check my photos. Let me show you what that looks like. As part of my sermon preparation, I open up my Photos app, and you'll see here all my most recent photographs. These last two lines of photos are the ones from the last few days, and I look at them through the lens of the theme of my sermon and ask whether this reminds me of anything that might be relevant as an illustration. So as I go back through my week here, I see a book that I thought of. A friend of mine was talking about his struggles with perfectionism. I remembered I had this book on my bookshelf. I took a photograph and sent it to him to help him. This reminds me of the fact that I preached in Singapore recently, and those are my friends who've helped me many times. Some books I'm reading at the moment, The Good Shepherd, Leadership Challenge. Is anything in those that might be relevant for a sermon about Jesus loving to help? I could think about that. This photograph is from some friends of mine who are grateful that we gave them a porta potty for their camping. Actually came from my mother-in-law, so we helped them with that. And they were grateful. These three photographs are from my friend Rob, who sent me excerpts from a book he's reading that he thought might be helpful for me. And indeed they were. Thanks, Rob. That's the last 2 weeks. But also, here's some photos from a few days before that. These are photographs of our roof. I took these because we got a leak, and I sent them to my friend John, who's a builder, to ask him for some advice about what to do with it. And so he's helping me with something that I have no idea what to do with. Here is a way of stimulating my thinking about what's been going on in my life. Is there any connection with the theme of help that might be useful for my sermon? Now, having looked at these, to be honest, actually, I don't think any of these would be that relevant for this sermon. But nonetheless, you can see how it stimulates thinking along the lines of what might be helpful as an illustration.
So that's my photos. The next thing I do is look through my diary. Now, I have an electronic diary and a physical diary. Let me show you my physical diary here. Because I don't know about you, but I often forget what's been going on in my life and what relevance it might have to the lesson I'm teaching. And so I always look back at my diary for the last week or so, at least since the last time I spoke, and look for things that might connect with the theme of my lesson. So for example, I'm here, this is this week actually, so here's Tuesday with my Tuesday teaching tip needs to be done, which it is being done, here we go. I look back at Monday, the previous day, and I see that last night I spoke to Eddie. Now, Eddie is my new Canadian friend who contacted me, and we're going to be talking again on Wednesday as it happens. Looking forward to that, Eddie. But one of the things that he talked about with me was he has a strong connection with our churches in the Middle East. He served out there in the Middle East for many years, led churches, planted churches, and he knows a lot of the people in the church in Beirut, where they had that explosion recently, and a lot of people were killed. One member of the church was injured. Maybe others have been. I don't know all the details. But he has a very strong connection, and he wanted to do whatever he could to encourage them. And without telling you the whole story, bear this in mind. Eddie has to get up at 4:30 a.m. to go to work. He has to get up really early. He wanted to encourage the church in Beirut after this explosion, so he decided to attend their online church service last Sunday without telling them that he was going to be there. To do that, because of the time difference between Canada and Beirut, he had to log into their church service at 1:30 in the morning. So he was up, logging in to the church service, giving them a nice surprise, encouraging their hearts. And then after the church service, there was no point going back to bed, just went to work at 4:30 in the morning. He basically didn't get any sleep that night. That's an illustration of someone who loves to help, right? That's the theme of my version of Luke 7, that story. The title is Jesus Loves to Help. There is someone who loves to help. That's a story I could use in that lesson, but I wouldn't have remembered it probably if I hadn't looked back in my diary. So why not have a look in your diary to see what that reminds you of? You'll be amazed at how sometimes even the small things, that's not small really, but even small things can be useful to you in your next lesson. So that's another thing to do. Obviously, you can check the news, or another thing that I use is Google. Let me illustrate that for you here. Google can be very helpful for finding illustrations. The core of my sermon is that Jesus loves to help. So let's just type that in. What do we find? Loves to help others, loves to help Subaru, loves to help. Subaru loves to help commercial. What's that about? Well, I would go have a look at the commercial and then decide if that's going to be of any use. Alternatively, as we type in, what was that again? Loves to help, which I can't spell, help, or can't type. Toddler loves to help. What's that about? Some articles. What about videos, though? Toddlers love to help. I'll bet there's something here that will be interesting. Of course, this can be a bit of a rabbit hole. You've got to be careful how deep you go. But Google can be tremendously helpful in finding potential illustrations.
So Google can be a useful resource. And then there's books. I assume that you're reading. Every preacher and teacher must read. Let me just say that again. Every preacher and every teacher must read. Whether you read lots or a little, whether you read fast or slow, every speaker must be a reader, because otherwise you're just regurgitating what you already know. We need to learn from other people. So anyway, I do quite a lot of reading. In fact, recently I've increased my speed of reading. Let me show you some of the books I've been reading. So what I'll do when I'm preparing a lesson, I've got this core point, Jesus loves to help. I think of any of the books I've been reading recently, do they say anything to this point? So recently I've been reading this really old book, 100 years old, Our Sacred Books, being plain chapters on the inspiration, transmission, and translation of the Bible by Joseph Bryant Rotherham. What a great name. Fascinating book, 100 years ago, on Bible translating, basically. I just finished this book by Michael Lawson, The Unfolding Kingdom. A Jewish Christian traces the Bible's revelation of the kingdom of God. I didn't actually think the book was that brilliant, but it did have some really good nuggets in there. Worth my time to read that. I read that. I also read recently this book, The Pressure's Off by Larry Crabb, about the difference between religiosity and true freedom in Christ, basically. And that I found really refreshing and helpful. I have a number of other books out of shot here on my, I have a whole shelf of books I'm reading or going to read. And some of them I've been reading bits of this week. Of course, also I have Kindle. So if I look at my Kindle, I'll see here that this week I've been reading a book called Singapore's Dunkirk, a fascinating story of eyewitness accounts of the Japanese invasion of Singapore in the 1940s and the escape or attempted escape of soldiers and civilians and what happened to them in the boats that they sailed in to get away from the invaders, and stories of incredible heroism. There are actually great stories in that that would be relevant to a story about a lesson on Jesus loves to help. Harrowing stories, but inspiring ones of people who went to extraordinary lengths to protect and help people who are vulnerable. I also on here have been reading We Need to Talk About Race by Ben Lindsay. That's a fascinating book. Sacred Fire, A Vision for Deeper Human and Christian Maturity. A book on divorce and marriage in the church. So I'm going to look through these and ask myself, have any of these got anything to say to my theme, Jesus Loves to Help? And as well as that, I have Audible. What have I been reading here? The Choice by Edith Eger, the story of a Holocaust survivor. Fascinating, harrowing again, but fascinating.
I've been reading two books on speed reading, which don't have that much to say, I don't think, about loving to help, but that's what I've been reading. The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer, deep book about the character and nature of God. The Good Shepherd by Kenneth Bailey, Psalm 23. Good stuff there. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. That could be relevant because Jesus loves to help. He wouldn't be able to help people if he was in a hurry. Jesus was never really in a hurry. Hurry and love don't go together. So I could talk about that. That's something. Life Without Lack by Dallas Willard, based on around Psalm 23. A number of Audible books and also podcasts for that matter. I got my podcast app open here and have a look at the podcast I've been listening to and think, have any of these got anything relevant to say on this topic of Jesus loves to help? So bear in mind what you've been listening to, what you've been watching, what you've been reading that might help you to work out to discover if anything has happened to you recently is relevant to the theme of your next lesson. Another thing you might want to do is keep a file of potential illustrations. Let me show you what I do with Evernote. It's helpful to have a place on your computer for storing illustrations. I store mine in Evernote, and so in the notebooks, I'm going to look up illustrations. So I open up that file, and I've got 103 illustrations I've stored here. Let's type in the word help to refine it. And we are refined. Let's see if any of these might be useful. Ah, yes, here's this illustration from John Sherwood. Once there was a man who fell in a ditch and couldn't find a way out. Eventually a doctor came by and the man shouted to the doctor, "Hey, can you help me? I'm down here in this ditch alone. I can't get out." The doctor wrote him a prescription, threw it in the ditch and kept on his way. After that, a priest came by. The man shouted to the priest, "Hey, can you help me? I'm down here in this ditch alone. I can't get out." The priest wrote out a prayer for him, threw it in the ditch and kept on his way. Eventually, a friend came by and the man shouted to his friend, "Hey, can you help me? I'm down here in this ditch alone. I can't get out." So his friend jumps down into the ditch with him. The man said to his friend, "Why did you do that? Now both of us are stuck down here." His friend replied, "Because I've been down here before and I know the way out." Great, great illustration, potentially about help. So you need a place to store your illustrations, whether it's in Evernote or somewhere else, but store them and make them searchable. You never know when you might need them next.
And let me also show you what I do with my filing cabinet. Let's have a look in my filing cabinet. In here, I have a file called illustrations. I can pull it out, and these contain some of the physical things that I like to keep that are helpful for illustration purposes. This reminds me of a conversation I had with somebody. These packets of salt I use when I'm talking about salt and light. The poppies, for obvious reasons perhaps. And a poem I rather like that's useful for Easter. Mustard seeds here for a sermon about mustard seeds. A piece of the Berlin Wall, which can be useful as an illustration. A letter, a card from a neighbour that was very moving that I like to keep and bring out every now and again. There's a number of things in here, small things, that will fit into a filing cabinet, which I can keep in a file so that I can go back to them and remind myself that I have them when I'm looking for an illustration. I think there are probably better and more efficient ways to do that than what I have chosen so far. I'd be interested in what you think.
All of these are tremendously helpful resources for illustrations to make your messages sticky, to make them memorable. Now let's talk about types of illustrations. Firstly, words. One way to tell a story is just to tell the story using words. I told you the story, I think last time, of the time that my mother put plasters on my knees when I fell off my tricycle when I was just a few years old. I can just tell the story, and because I know the story and it's in my heart, I can tell it well, and I think it's quite moving. It always moves me myself, usually moves the people I tell it to. You can also put pictures or video on screen. Of course, you need to be careful how you do that to make sure that it's technically possible and going to work. Let me show you some pictures I might use for the story about my mother and me and my tricycle.
Here are two photographs of my mother that I might use in that illustration. Firstly, a photograph of my mother and father on their wedding day, 63 years ago. And that's the mother that put the plaster on my knee. I came along about 3 years later, So roughly 6 years after this photograph was taken, that was my mother putting that sticking plaster on my knee that I remember so clearly. Not only I remember the details of the day, but I remember how I felt. That was my mother then. And I might put a photograph of her now on screen. This was their 63rd wedding anniversary. It took place recently. That's their cake they're cutting. And I might put this on up just to show you that cheeky look on my mother's face, which very ably reflects her sense of humor that I love about my mother. And so I'm reinforcing by showing you the pictures, reinforcing the special connection I feel with my mother and how much I love her and how much I remember her compassion and care, her loving help to me when I was so young.
A further type of illustration, apart from words and pictures or video, is props. Props can be particularly powerful and memorable because the congregation are seeing them physically in front of you. For the story about my mother and my tricycle, I could bring a sticking plaster onto stage with me, pull it out of my pocket, and undo the plaster and take the protective wrapping off and perhaps put it on my knee or my elbow, or I could, if I wanted for comic effect, stick it on my forehead. That would be funny, might be a little distracting, but it would be funny and it would be memorable. Or I could ask for a volunteer from the congregation to come up and I could stick it on them. Maybe I could even stick it on a child, depends on your relation. Well, maybe one of your own children, if it wouldn't be too embarrassing for them. Got to be a little careful with that. But nonetheless, a prop might be something that's useful. So we've got telling a story using the words. We've got telling the story with the aid of pictures and video. We've got telling a story using a prop. We've got all kinds of different ways to find a way to make a message memorable. Finally, let's talk about appropriateness. It's important to consider with your illustration whether it's going to work for everybody. There's nothing worse than using an illustration that just connects with 5% of your audience. May work for you, but will it work for the group you're speaking to? Think about the cultural relevance. Think about who might be feeling left out if you use that illustration. For example, a lot of us are parents, and if we use too many parenting illustrations, then the non-parents are going to feel left out. Either the singles who don't have children, or those who wish they could have children and haven't been able to have children. It can be quite painful for them to hear a parent talk over and over and over again about their children. One story is fine, but if we do it lots in a sermon or week after week after week, we risk those people tuning out or feeling offended. Or perhaps we talk about a new purchase. I'm thinking about buying a new computer. I actually need to. My old one here, which is working still at the moment, is a little old. And it's, I don't know how much longer it's going to last. I've been researching buying a new computer. I could talk about that as part of a sermon, the search, the people I met. But if I'm going to buy quite a nice computer, I could be in danger of alienating those who are not as wealthy as me. Got to think about that. The odd story where there's a difference is not going to be a problem. But when we do it frequently, we cause a gap between us and the people we're speaking to. So think carefully about your illustrations. And if you need to, offer a caveat. You don't need to do this every time. But if you are talking about your children and you're aware there could be some sensitivities in the congregation, you could just mention that. I hope you don't mind me talking about my children one more time. I think it's helpful. Something as simple as that. So what have we covered today? We have covered different ways to make our messages memorable, how to help them to stick. We've talked about our sources, our present, our past, our distant past, our recent past, photographs you may have, your things that have happened that you've got recorded in your diary, friends, the news, Google searching, reading, your podcasts, keeping files and going back to them that you may find that useful. Different ways to use an illustration by just telling, speaking it out, whether it's a story or a quote or whatever it is, just using words, pictures and or video, props, which I love actually. I love using props. And then some thoughts on appropriateness and thinking carefully about your audience. So to finish off, I have a question. a question for you to think about. And if you're doing this as a teaching exercise together with friends, then this is something to discuss together. What illustrations do you find memorable and why? What illustrations do you find memorable and why? We tend to find some things more memorable than others, depending on our personality or our learning styles. But what do you find most memorable and why? It'd be good to talk about that together with friends so that you can learn from each other. Next time, we'll talk about how to make the most of congregational involvement. That's an interesting topic. The sort of the back and forth, the banter, the interaction. How do we do that? How do we make the most of it, whether it's online or in the flesh? We'll talk about that next time. If you've got any feedback or thoughts or questions on anything I've shared in this class or the previous classes, then do drop me a line and I'll do my best to answer. It's malcolm@malcolmcox.org. malcolm@malcolmcox.org. Let's finish with Psalm 145 and verse 4. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. This is what we're doing, my friends. We're not just trying to make cute classes here or cute illustrations that are kind of fun, a little bit cheesy or funny or just shocking. We're not trying to just do something that's entertaining, let's put it that way. We are trying to prepare lessons that will help people to commend God's works to the next generation, to each other. And so this we pass the message on. It's not just for you and me. It's for the next generation and the generation after that, that we will tell and they will tell of God's mighty acts. So until the next time, have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care and God bless.